Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, and it's the 6th of November, and I'm recording at 9:47 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in slightly damp London. Very warm, though. Okay, this being Friday, this is the big picture outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's just have a brief look at what's happened during the week. I would say for stock markets, it's mostly been a case of a little bit of loss of momentum, some consolidation starting. I think for most markets, for a good number of them at least, it will be a sideways activity by and large, get a little pullback, but I don't think there's any big downside risk at this stage, or if there is, I'm not aware of it, and I think it would have to be some sort of shock exogenous event, and I'm not in the business of predicting that. Okay, but taking these stock markets, let's have a little bit of a look in terms of which have been the top performers here so far this year in US dollar terms. Now, I'm not going to look at every single one of them, but I will have most of them here, and I'm looking on the Bloomberg screen, and there'll be about 35 indices that are covered here. So, what's up on the year to date in US dollar terms, and by how much? Well, I'll start with Wall Street, and you've now got the three U.S. indices shown are the Dow and the S&P and the Nasdaq. The Dow's now up almost 0.5% on the year. The S&P 500 is up 1.96% on the year. And the Nasdaq Composite is up 8.68%. The NASDAQ 100, which I often post, is not shown here, but it'll be higher still, probably over 10%. Now, looking down the list, going on to the European stock markets, well, France's CAC 40 index is actually up 3.55%. I wouldn't have expected that necessarily, but there it is. And the other one, well, it's Italy, up 5.19%. Then going on to the Asia-Pacific region, Japan's doing pretty well here. The TOPIX index up nearly 8%. The Nikkei 225 up over 7.25%. The Japan Nikkei 400 up just over 7%. Now again, these are all in US dollar terms since the beginning of the year. And then going on to China, the CIS 300 index up 4.86%. The Shanghai Composite index up 8.42%. And the Shenzhen Composite takes home the bacon. That's up 48.57% on the year to date. Last but not least, South Korea, one of its indices, up 1.15%. But just to pause with China for a moment, among the top gainers here and the Shenzhen Composite runaway, a top performer, and just think of how frightened people have been about China, and think of all the disaster stories that we've seen over overall. Well, you know, we know that they're trying to get the stock market up, and I'll happily run with that for the time being. Okay, I'm going to take the headset off and have a little cough here. Sorry. Scratchy throat. Okay, looking at the commodities, well, palladium did better today, but the precious metals have been down heavily all week. And although palladium's up as $15 here today, The silver market down to 14.73. That's down over nearly 26 cents. Platinum down over $11 to 941.80, and gold bullion down to 1089. That's down almost $15. So these have been hit hard. Here, I've mentioned before that they are oversold here overall, but what contributing factors are there? The US dollar index surged in here today because the US employment figures were very, 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 very attractive. And so the dollar index is up to 99.173. So that's taken it above the highs in July and August, which were being challenged earlier this week, as I mentioned. And it's the highest level since I believe since March, when the dollar index briefly moved above the 100 level on a couple of occasions. So this performance here certainly looks like what I'd mentioned. I think it was on Tuesday or was it Wednesday when I put up a chart of the dollar index and talked about how it looked like a big consolidation pattern. I said, pointing to higher levels over the medium term, are we going to get a little bit more than that? Are we going to get it in the near term? I think the Fed will be concerned about that, but we'll see. We will see. Okay, it's been a weak period for commodities generally, certainly in the latter part of the week, and the crude oil is still soft in here today. For instance, the WTI down to 44.56, and the Brent is down to 47.66. And white sugar, I noticed. Well, the industrial metals, they've taken a beating over the week. The dollar has contributed some of that, but not all of it. And copper, which had that big downside day on Thursay, is down a little further here today. It's trading right now down 120. That's at 224.3 cents. But it was down, well, it was a little lower earlier on here. Overextend again, oversold, as are many of these commodities. But we have yet to see the upward dynamics that would suggest we're going to get technical rallies, and people will hold off on that while the dollar is so firm. Again, grains and or the I should say the agricultural commodities. White sugar, I'd mentioned that yesterday, took a big hit, and it's down another nearly $10 in here today. So that's given up a fair amount of ground this week. And that's pretty much it. Still very soft here overall. Okay. So what's all this mean? I think in terms of stock markets and the generally firm performance that we've seen in stock markets last month and it's carrying on for the most part here in November is just a reflection of returning demand following what for Wall Street was its first 10% plus correction. I think it was 14.5% for the S&P in over 4 years. Just about all the other stock markets had bigger corrections, and some of the troubled emerging markets and commodity producers have had much, much bigger corrections. They've actually suffered bear markets overall. But the interesting ones, is among the most interesting ones, as I wrote yesterday or talked yesterday, I think about the top five strongest, or the beg your pardon, let me start that again. The five largest economies in the globe, because at some point in here we're going to see a synchronized recovery, and that will be important, and it'll also contain some risks. But what are they? Well, the U.S. obviously doing well, as you heard, in number one position, and we also have China, which had some of the best gains on the year to date. That's in number two. Japan, which also is up on the year. It's steady here generally. And we had Germany, which is down on the year, but only half a percentage point in US dollar terms. And then that's number four. And then number five is the UK. That shows the biggest loss on the year. Sterling got thumped today. That didn't help it. But it's down 6.54% on the year to date. So not a disaster. But and Germany, certainly not a disaster, down half a percent. And the other three really doing quite well. Well, what point am I trying to make or working towards? And that is that you might have seen the article by Ambrose Evans-Pritchard that I posted yesterday, saying he'd eat his hat if we saw a recession here. And I certainly agreed with the tone of that article. I think we'll avoid the recession, but how long will it take to show somewhat stronger growth? There are more questions about the latter part of that question. So overall, though, if you're thinking first, well, this is academic, and what about opportunities here as an investor? At this stage, I would wager that the markets that are doing best in US dollar terms, stock markets that are doing best in US dollar terms, are going to go on performing quite well throughout next year, and certainly for the first, I would say, for the first 6 months or so, which is the favorable part of the year on average. So, don't be worried too much if you've got positions in Japan, China, the USA, Germany, and the UK is the way I'm wrapping that up. Are we going to see synchronized recoveries here? Well, I think we certainly will. Whether we see that in the short term, that might be asking a bit too much, but I think we could get it over the lengthy medium term, and that would be positive for other stock markets generally. For us to get stronger global GDP growth across the boards, we really would need to see a pickup in these resources. And they are so weak, as you know. And I've talked, though, about a stronger performance quite possibly occurring from mid-year overall. Because partly these are really bombed out, and there are a lot of short positions in the commodity markets. We know the fundamentals behind this. It's been a little bit of slower global GDP growth. That may surprise you. A lot of people think that slower global GDP growth is the whole factor behind it. Well, it certainly isn't, and it never is with commodities. The main factor behind it, by far, I would say at least 80% of it, is in overproduction. And we have that overproduction because of technology. But it is certainly causing a lot of problems for the countries involved. They haven't adjusted to this all that well. So to get a global economy that's really firing on, if not quite all cylinders, on most cylinders, we need to see a good revival in the commodity markets. And that will take a combination of supply reductions and short covering, and also some somewhat stronger growth going forward. We'll certainly see that over the lengthy medium term, but it's a little bit tricky in terms of how quickly that's actually going to emerge. I'm cautious on that in terms of the very short term, but I will be surprised and disappointed if, come, say, the end of May, it takes in all the favorable months here for stock markets, if that isn't reflected in somewhat higher commodity prices as well. We will see, of course. Now, what else to mention in here? What about this currency situation with a strong dollar? Fed taking up rates. I'm convinced the Fed will hike. Market's also convinced now that the Fed will hike rates in December. They would be, I think, overcautious to the point of complacency if they were not to raise rates. And but the problem that remains for the Fed, and is certainly of concern to it, is if they raise rates and the dollar strengthens, that of course creates a big headwind for the U.S. economy. And so they would rather be raising rates at a time when those other big economies that I mentioned to you at the beginning of my talk were also performing somewhat better and close to raising rates. And we're not really there yet. China, I certainly don't think will be raising rates. Japan certainly won't. The UK has talked about it, but it appears to have been pushed well into 2016 by the central bank governor. And the ECB certainly isn't going to be, European Central Bank isn't going to be raising rates anytime soon. So the US will have to proceed quite cautiously here, and they may also have to get the Treasury to intervene in the currency markets also if that dollar is strengthening. They're not beyond doing that, as I've mentioned on many occasions. So that's one consideration. Too strong a dollar, and investors will like that, but you'll see it. You'll see U.S. companies, particularly the multinational companies, paying a price for it. As was the case, you go back 4 or 5 quarters. We saw what that very strong dollar rally, how that hurt operating earnings, hurt sales as well. Okay, now looking further ahead, though, I'm reasonably optimistic about the next 6 months, as I've mentioned in earlier audios, as far as stock markets are concerned. And I think it's not a bad idea to be fully invested in here preferably on an unleveraged basis. Now, what about bonds? How are they actually going to perform? Well, today, U.S. 10-year Treasuries, 2.32. So this has shot up yet again, And if you look at the chart of the yield for the U.S. 10-year Treasuries, look at it on a weekly basis. Looks like a great big ranging time and size type 3 at the chart seminar. Base formation over several years, forming four bonds. But the bond investors are not going to be happy about an environment where global GDP growth is picking up, where the deflation that people were talking about so much actually starts to disappear. With the help, you get around mid-year 2016, and the downward statistically these commodities will no longer be adding to that in disinflationary deflationary pressure that we have been seeing. Whereas, as you know, for just about the entire year so far, we've seen these big falls in commodity markets, and well, that just pushed inflation very much into the background. But does that start to change from mid-year, i.e., 2016? And I think it, I think it does overall. What else to mention in terms of other bond markets? Well, I'll stay with the U.S. Treasuries here for just a little bit longer. Technically, I just think this is the slow motion. It's not the bursting of the bubble, but let's put it this way: it's as if a pin has been stuck into the very large. A bubble here overall, or into the very large balloon. It's not going to explode, but the primary trend, we're in the bottoming out phase for yields. They're going to move higher over the medium to longer term. And thus I repeat yet again, I don't want to have any of those long-dated government bonds. I don't want to have any of the long-dated corporate bonds either. Now, in terms of currencies other than the U.S. dollar, overall, we've been living in an environment where no country really wanted a strong currency, but some could deal with it a little bit more effectively than others. I think that the weakest currencies in the world by far this year have been the ones of the commodity producing countries, and they are certainly recovery candidates as the commodity indices show clearer signs that they haven't just stopped going down, which is the case today, but that they're actually establishing upward trends. And well before the global economy is clearly stronger, and that may be several years down the road, but long before we have clear evidence of that, I think we will see much stronger commodity prices. I don't mean in terms of serious overheating, but you know, crude oil, that could be $10 to $20 higher. Industrial metals could gain even more. Same possibly with precious metals. And agricultural commodities, well, that'll depend more on supply considerations, which are such a big factor. All right, looking at further into the future here overall, I've long said that we were going to see a secular bull market rather than another big a big crash overall. We can get cyclical bear trends, but I think the longer term potential is for a secular bull market that I said would be fueled or really occur in response to, is better way to put it, one, technological innovation. And technological innovation is by far the most important factor overall in the secular bull market potential for equities. What it also creates, which is essential to that stronger GDP growth that we'd need for a secular bull market, is cheap energy. And I think that's pretty much a given. Energy prices are definitely lower, and I'm going to stay well below what we were seeing a year and a half, 2 years, 2 years ago. So that's a very, very, very bullish factor here overall. Then the number of countries that have basically capitalistic systems, whether it's democratic capitalism, as in the U.S. and the UK, or whether it's command capitalism, as we see in China. This certainly was not the case back in 1982, when we were beginning the last secular bull market in equities. There were far, let's put it this way, there were far fewer capitalist economies, and to consider China, for example, is perhaps the biggest classic example. And another big factor here is rising middle classes around the globe. And we know we've been through a difficult economic period in here overall, but to put it in perspective, that has not prevented the ever expanding total of the global middle classes, and that will also continue. So, you know, against that background, we'll get shocks, we'll get volatility, we'll get some cyclical bear markets from time to time. I don't see any of those cyclical bear markets being imminent at this stage. I expect, as I said, the next 6 months to be attractive here overall. Then going to the really big long-term picture, I think it's going to be boom time more often than not for global stock markets. And on that note, I wish you a terrific weekend, and I look forward to seeing some of you at my Market Now presentation at the East India Club here in London on Monday evening. All the very best.